Our studios is Northfield's Police Chief Mark Elliott. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, listeners.
Thank you for coming on with us today. You know, we thought about just blowing the whole thing off because we're both short timers, but I guess we still have work to do.
Short time, but I still have a few months. Yes.
As do I. I want to start off by talking about and get your thoughts on this. And I know this didn't happen under your jurisdiction or anything, but we just had the sentencing for the man who was involved, the driver who was involved with the death of Father Denny Dempsey. Rich and I have been talking about that this morning, and you know, the family did agree evidently to the sentence, but I think a lot of people are thinking, boy, that's pretty light. Do you know much about this case? Can you give us a little insight? Is there anything you know?
Yeah, I followed the case closely. Like you said, it didn't happen in our jurisdiction. It was up in Dakota County, Rosemount area, and so we weren't directly involved in the case at all, obviously, but like many in our community, we were following it closely because of who and what Father Denny was to our community. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're saddened by his passing and by the tragic event there with him riding his bike and getting hit by a vehicle. So the driver in that case was charged with criminal vehicular homicide. And I know there's been questions around, the relatively light sentence is what folks have been talking about. And the first of all, the Dakota County Attorney, Kathy Keenan, I think she does a great job. And she does a great job of including, like you mentioned, families in these type of plea bargain decisions and that type of thing. But there were some circumstances in the case that led to a downward departure from the sentencing. And the recommended sentence for a case like this would be 48 months. And a downward departure, usually there has to be some other circumstances involved. And usually with criminal vehicular homicide, there are, impairment, drugs or alcohol, distracted driving, other things like that. It didn't appear that there was any evidence of any of that in this case. No criminal history. So some other factors like that the county entered into a plea deal where he'll have to serve a portion of time in jail in 30-day increments over the term of his probation. And I think it's a total of 150 days, if I remember correctly. So there's still probation, and he's going to have to follow all the rules of that and spend some time in jail. But I'm with a lot of other people, and it doesn't quite seem just when we have the loss of a life and loss of such a wonderful man.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's move on. You've recently announced your retirement, made it official, and actually given a date. It's September 27th?
Yep, end of September.
But who's counting?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's talk about your retirement. This is not a surprise to anyone because you've made it kind of known that, hey, this is when I, and for just about every chief, this is when the pension and everything gets to the end of your career or so. And you stuck around for another year or so, haven't you?
Not quite. I mean, I did have some discussions when I took the job, mm-hmm, that I was probably going to be leaving around the beginning of 2024. And so I'm staying a little later,
okay,
9 months after, but for a couple different reasons. But yeah, I've been in law enforcement for 33 years, as a police officer for 31. And it's just time for me to do something different. And I'm ready to do something different. So I had talked to city administrator and the mayor about that and made them aware of it. And then, in March, I gave, mm-hmm, them 6 months' notice so they'd have time to run a process. I wanted to be sure to do that. I've enjoyed my time working here. Very grateful. Ben Martig has been wonderful to work with, and other staff in the city, that I wanted to be sure that they had enough time to find a replacement, and they weren't rushed. And, you know, we're a little short-staffed in the department anyways, like many departments right now. And anytime you have staff shortages, it affects others in the organization too. And I didn't want to leave that with them either. So hoping that we can run through the process and have someone in place by the time I walk out the door.
You know, every time, it seems like whenever we talk to you, you're excited about being full staffed, and that lasts for about, 60 seconds before, yeah, you know, three more people retire or something. So it is a constant struggle. Let's talk about the search for your replacement. What do you know about that? Are you part of that search?
Somewhat. I had talked to both the city administrator and HR director about this, and I gave some suggestions from processes I had been a part of, either looking for a job as chief or on a panel for other cities selecting chiefs or that type of thing. So somewhat familiar with processes that were used other places, and kind of gave them some suggestions on what I thought worked well for both recruitment and making sure that we're reaching out appropriate places and making contacts with folks, advertising in the right place where we're going to find folks that are qualified. So some suggestions with that, and then also just some different steps in a timeline that I thought was one we could follow and get everything in place at the right time. So we have recruitment open. The information is posted on the city website. I have a recruitment flyer telling folks about the city that's attached to that and the job itself, and an application deadline of May 17th. So from there, we'll review applications and put together some folks to interview that we feel are going to be a good fit. And that will take place about June 12th. And there'll be community involvement on that. Currently set up to have several different panels. We'll have some police employees on there, some department heads, and then folks from the community on those panels too. So specifically some of the partners that we work with frequently. So when we think of our education institutions, you know, the colleges or school district, we work with them. You know, HCI and CAC are good partners with us in helping serve the community and meeting different needs of folks we come in contact with that we can help direct to them to get those resources. So when we think of, you know, those type of community partners, we want to be sure to do that. Back in 2020, we had rewritten and adopted a new policy manual at that time, and we had community involvement on that, and I led us through that, and it was really a great process, and we've got some great ideas, opinions, perspectives from people in the community, so we want to be sure we carry that into this as well.
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to ask the same question I asked to Ben Martin yesterday when we had him on. You know, police departments around the state have had difficulty getting hiring officers, fewer job applicants, and not quite as talented maybe as it would have been at one point. That's for the entry level, you know, the patrol officers and such. We're going to the exit level now with police chief. It's usually the last job that somebody will have to end their career. Can you compare those two, you know, I guess searches for employees? Is there any relation between one and the other? I would think that there's probably more good qualified candidates for the exit position than the entry.
On some levels, yes, you are correct, Jeff. But the other part is we're just seeing a lot of folks that, this has been, the last 4 years have been a very tiring time in this profession. And so we're seeing that some folks are just either staying where they're at because they're comfortable there, or they really feel they can't leave because they're short-staffed in their departments and helping out there, or not wanting to take on that next step. Police chief obviously is an at-will position without the security of, you know, union-covered positions or contract-covered positions. So there's some risk involved there for folks interested in the job. And then we have people retiring. Pretty much not many people are staying past their retirement eligibility. They're doing other jobs, looking at other things, but that's another part of it. When I've looked at recent processes around the state, the number of applicants that communities are getting definitely is lower than what it was a few years ago. Savage just ran a process there, and I think they had 8 applicants, which is pretty low for suburban community in the metro. Brooklyn Center has had an ad for a while. In fact, they just raised their salary range and reposted again, which I'm assuming because they didn't have any applicants or didn't have many applicants. So, yeah, definitely something communities need to look at. And I've prepped the council that the hiring pool may be a little shallower than what it's been before.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say we won't get good people. I know that I've been reaching out to folks I know that may be interested or in a position that they may have some other folks that they know that are interested, and just trying to get some good people to apply.
Let's, I know you can't speak for anyone but yourself, but internal candidates, is there anyone that within the system that might be interested in that?
Yeah, there's certainly people eligible,
mm-hmm.
excuse me, that meet the minimum requirements. Whether or not we have anybody internally, I don't know. That will be up to them. They'll make that decision at that time. Average tenure of a police chief in the U.S. is about 3.5 years. Our internal candidates that we have probably would be looking at staying in the profession a lot longer than that. So whether they want to take that on at this point in their career, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right. Once again, Police Chief Mark Elliott is with us now. Let's switch gears a little bit. We had last week, we had severe weather awareness, tornado day and such, and we all heard the sirens go off, and we have our notifications on our phone. Is that, I want to say evergreen. It's not evergreen.
Everbridge?
Everbridge, yes, which is in use. Let's talk about, that's a great thing. You can go on there and choose whatever weather alert or type of emergency
exactly.
you want to be notified with.
Yeah, so Everbridge is a platform that we use. A lot of communities use that for notifications, and it's all kinds of notifications from severe weather-type notifications to snow emergencies. We have all of those on there, and folks can select what alerts they want to be aware of and sign up for that. And real easy to sign up. If you go to the police page on our city website, and on the left hand side it says emergency alerts, and emergency preparedness is right below that. Some good information there, but folks can sign up to get those alerts. So severe thunderstorm or tornado warning, whatever you want to select, you do that, and it'll come to however you want to receive it. It can come to your email box, it can come as a text message to your phone, a phone call to your phone, home phone. You can have it cascade, first call this, then call that number, then that one. So really a good way for people to be informed of any emergency that that they can select there. With Severe Weather Awareness Month, we've been doing some awareness for folks, putting some stuff on the website. And we had a really good event last week. Viking Terrace community has 2 storm shelters there for folks that are living in mobile homes, which are not a good place to be during severe weather. So they have shelters there, and we held an event in the shelter for the community so they could come directly to the shelter so they would know where to go and kids could find their way to get there. And we had some folks turn out and come receive some more weather information. But we also had NAFR's fire department join us. So they were there. They had one of their big ladder trucks out and some fire safety information. And they're also hiring right now. So they have an ad coming out soon and going to be hiring their paid on-call firefighters. So there's an opportunity to try to do some recruiting for them. And then we had our city building department there too. So if folks had questions about, building requirements or roofing questions or how to get a permit or anything like that. So really good opportunities for the residents there to get information that pertain to them and their community. And yeah, we were happy. We were very supported by Lakeshore, the management company there. They were making root beer floats for folks and brought some snacks and opened up the shelters for us, obviously. And it turned out to be a really good event.
Good to hear. Good to hear. As far as severe weather awareness, did the department itself, did you go through any drills or anything? Is there certain protocol you have to make sure that the department follows in situations like this?
Yep. So one of the things that we do each month is when we do the testing on first Wednesdays of the month at 1 o'clock is making sure all the sirens are working properly. And so that was a big thing for us last Thursday, was making sure at 1:45 and 6:45 that sirens were working properly and activated when they were supposed to in that. And then just making sure our folks too are aware of what to do in the event of severe weather emergencies.
Once again, Northfield Police Chief Mark Elliott is with us. Chief, is there anything else you want to mention, pass along while we have you on today? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's about it. One thing, going back to the hiring process, we are going to have a open to the public meet and greet with the finalists once we get to that stage. Of course, personnel hiring, there's some laws regarding privacy and some of that, so applicant information isn't public, but when we get to the finalist stage it is. So we'll be sure to advertise that and allow the public to come and hear from the finalists and get a chance to chat with them a little bit and then leave some comments of what their opinion is.
All right. Chief, thank you so much for coming in today. Much appreciated, and we'll talk to you again next month.
Thank you, Jeff.